Are you glad you are the house of the Lord? Somebody say glory. Somebody say glory. Let's give him a good hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Amen. Let's sing that song, Brother Caleb, I'm one of them. If you can find that song on the screen, I'm so glad I can say I am one of them. Well, what are you? Well, I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Christian. I believe what God's done in this hour to be the truth. Nothing but the truth. So help me, Lord. I believe it to be the truth to you tonight. Give him one more good hand clap of praise if you love him as we stand together tonight. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say, oh yes, we are one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart, a glory to his name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn it be, they're most of worldly fame. They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name. They're telling now both far and wide, his power is yet the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad I can say, thank you, Lord, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Praise the Lord. Well, are you glad you can say you're one of them? Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. Sister Bonnie Potter wants us to remember a request on behalf of her son, Davy. He asked that we would pray for his friend, Crystal Beeson. She may have cancer. Also, if you would pray for her salvation along with that healing, that the Lord would just be mindful of those needs tonight. Sister Barron sends this in. Brother Zephaniah Peters needs prayer for himself. His family has said that he isn't talking very much, can hardly walk since the stroke. He also has other needs, so we certainly want to pray for Brother Zephaniah Peters that the Lord would be mindful of him tonight. Brother Ryan Kennedy wants us to remember his father, Brother Eugene. He's in desperate need of prayer. Brother Eugene's health is very, very bad at this time, so they're asking that we would remember him. Sister Linda Krager says that Katie Lorindu is glad to be back in church. God has healed her. Somebody say praise the Lord for that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, we thank God for that. Sister Martha Ann wants you to be mindful of this situation. My little five-month-old great niece, Paisley Grace, will be having surgery next Tuesday morning. The surgeon is calling, or he's actually cutting an infected birthmark off of little Paisley's temple. This birthmark is affecting her right eyesight. Please pray that the Lord would give them peace and heal this little baby. So we certainly want to pray for that child, that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. Brother Baker called a while ago. Sister Baker, very sick in body, needs healing tonight. Certainly want to pray for her. Also, Sister Barbara Gravely called. She is still suffering with an abscessed tooth and infection, and she's asking for prayer. Also, Brother Burt, want to continue to remember him in prayer. Just some lovely people, and they're certainly missing not being able to be in the house of the Lord. So we want to pray for them that the Lord would just give them healing. Brother Frank sends this in to please pray for Brenda Vandergrief. The doctors found a spot on her lungs and also a spot in her stomach. They will be doing more tests, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request on behalf of her. Brother Joel Moyer sends this in. Very many requests tonight, unspoken needs of saints asking you to pray about. Wants us to remember his wife in prayer. God has given them some directions in the way that they are going and things that are coming up in their future. God knows all about it. They're having a change of attorneys in their custodial case, so they're asking that we would remember that. Also, they want us to pray for his mother. Remember her in prayer. Also, Brother Norman and Sister Sarah Anderson, remember them in prayer. God knows all about it. Pray for Brother Joel as he suffers lower back pain. And we know that he, according to what Brother Joel says, we believe it too, that God answers prayer. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not dead, but he is alive. We believe that tonight, don't we? All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have needs, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you know God's able to meet your need tonight? Do you believe that with all your heart? Do you believe it more than anything in this world, that he is alive tonight? Somebody say glory. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's sing that chorus one more time as we get ready to pray over these prayer requests tonight. Brother Fred, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord. I'm so glad tonight that I can truly say, by the grace of Almighty God, he has included you and me into his great scheme of plans for this end time. You was made to live right now where you're living. Are you glad you're a victorious Christian? Are you glad he's giving you the victory tonight? Amen. Somebody say glory. I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Brother Fred, God bless you tonight as you lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. Certainly appreciate Brother Fred Perry and his family tonight. Mean a lot to us, buddy. I want you to know that. You do. You mean a lot to us. He thinks I'm just joking all the time, but I'm really serious. We love this guy, don't we? Appreciate you, buddy.
Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we've come to you tonight, Lord, once again. Lord, with our heads bowed to the ground, Lord, from whence we've come. And Father, we've come and ask you, Lord, that you'll touch each and every one of these prayer requests, Lord, that's come before your throne. And Father, we're nothing but little specks of dust, Lord, that want to give you worship and want to give you praise. And we ask, Lord, there's no power in us, Lord, but you. You are our power. You are our love. You're our strength. You're our everything, Lord. So we come to you, Lord, with open minds and open hearts, Lord, and open hands, a needy people, Lord, having needs of healing and touches in our bodies, Lord. And Father, we know you want to touch us, Lord, so we ask you to help us, Lord, tonight, Lord, and let our faith rise, Lord, to the place, Lord, where we can grab a hold of our salvation and grab a hold of our healing, Lord, or whatever we might need from you tonight, Lord, let us reach out and grab those things, Lord. For Father, you're the only one that can give them to us. Satan wouldn't give them to us. Even if he had them, he wouldn't give them to us. So we know that you will, Lord. And if we ask, Lord, with a open heart, Lord, and a contrite spirit, Lord, and humble ourselves, Lord, and we ask that you would do those things, Lord. And Father, we ask you that you would be welcome in our presence tonight. Father, there's no other place we would rather be than right here. We've come to worship you, Lord. We've come to serve you tonight, Lord. Open us up and expose what's inside of us, Lord. And if there's anything that's unpleasing to you, let us cast it away from us, Lord, quickly, that we might have you and all of you, 100% you in us, Lord, that when people look at us, they can say, wow, I like to have what he has. He's so happy, so spontaneous, and just loves the Lord. We like to get that way. Lord, we know the world won't accept those things, Lord, but if you'll just make us that way one more time before this world ends, as darkness creeps around us, Lord, there's light, Lord, above. We know, Lord, that you're soon to come. We ask you to bless our missionaries around the world and on the field, Lord, tonight. God, they need you, Lord, to spread this word and spread this wonderful gospel. Father, we ask you to bless those that are streaming in tonight, Lord, and those around the world, God, that hear these things, Lord, from the ministry tonight, that you would do something special in their heart. Father, we ask all these things and more. Father, we ask that you would be welcome in our presence. Come, Lord, and be with us, Lord, as we worship you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks. All that are traveling and gone different places here and there, we want to pray for them. Remember, the service is over in Gastonia, North Carolina. Brother Donnie, Brother Darrell over there preaching at Brother Tim Humes during this weekend. So let's pray for them. We're going to have church here tonight, though. We're going to have church here this week. We're serving a risen Savior that fills all time and space. I believe it. He can be a Gastonian here at the same time. He can be an Indian at the same time. The Spirit of God. Aren't you glad there's a Spirit of God that's prevalent all over the world? Amen. Let me make this announcement tonight. There was a purple drawstring change purse that was turned into the library. So if that belongs to you, hopefully that's a woman's purse. Purple drawstring change purse. That's not yours, is it, Brother Terry? Okay, we'll get that. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's turned into the library. So ladies, if it belongs to you, go over there and pick it up. Amen. You know what? We're getting ready to sing in Heaven's Jubilee. But right now we're fixing to sing in Happy Valley's Jubilee. Because we are a happy valley. We are a happy group of people. Now, if you're not happy tonight, it's time to get happy. We get enthused about so many other things in life. It's time to get enthused about Jesus Christ. We're on our way out of here. It's Heaven's Jubilee fixing to take place. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting on that happy morning. We all shall rise. Oh, what glory. Hallelujah. When we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Yes, oh, what singing. On that happy morning. Yes, oh, what glory. Savior in the sky. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, heading for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing on that happy morning. Sing it. Yes, oh, what glory. When we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead, rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change within to be. All the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Oh,
on that happy morning. Yes, oh, what glory when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When with all that heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing on that happy morning. Yes, oh, what glory when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Yes, oh, what singing on that happy morning. We all shall rise. Oh, what glory when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
Amen. I believe that tonight, don't you? Let's sing the little chorus together. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Do you believe that tonight with all your heart? When you're dying for a yes and He says no, He's still good. He's still real. He knows what's best for every one of us. Is that right? Let's sing it together. You're singing so good tonight. I'm telling you the truth. God bless your heart. Let's sing it together tonight. Oh, my God is good, I know He is. He's good all the time. God is good, yes He is. He's good all the time. You can turn the whole world over, no greater friend you'll find. He's not good all the time. Oh, I said my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. Oh, you gotta sing it one more time. Well, I know my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find. Once in a while, He's good all the time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. As Brother David gets ready to come tonight, we're going to give him the service just a little bit early. Let's just stand and sing that chorus together. Our God is awesome. Nobody here awesome, but our God is awesome. He is the awesome one. Is that right tonight? Let's sing that as Brother David gets ready to come. I know you're going to enjoy the word of the Lord tonight. We appreciate our brother. Brother David Siler, just a precious brother. Got a wonderful family. And, well, we love him around here, don't we? Amen. Let's sing this chorus together. Our God is awesome. Our God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. He's awesome. Awesome. Our God is awesome. Yes,
awesome. He's awesome. Yes, He's awesome. Our God is awesome. He can move the mountains. Sing it! Yes, He's awesome. He's so awesome. Our God is awesome. He'll speak when I'm broken. Gives me strength when I'm weak. Forever He will reign. My God is awesome.
He's awesome, so awesome. Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I may believe we serve an awesome God. Amen. While you're standing, let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Certainly welcoming you to the house of the Lord. Certainly appreciate God's grace to us. Amen. Been down into Brother Tim Hume's meetings the last couple of nights, and the Lord has really blessed and moved among the people there. Well, Brother Donnie just did an outstanding job last night. So I know the people there was blessed, and Brother Donnie will be speaking again this evening there, so let's just keep him on our hearts and trust the Lord to move there. But we want the Lord to move here tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and He gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. The word cleanse means that He might sanctify and cleanse it. The word cleanse, to make clean, to be clean, to purge or purify from physical stains and dirt. Listen to this next one. To cleanse a leper by curing. To remove leprosy by cleansing. In the moral sense, it means to free from defilement of sin and from faults. To purify from wickedness. To free from guilt of sin. to purify, to consecrate by cleansing or purifying, what it means to dedicate or to pronounce clean in a Levitical sense. That he might sanctify and pronounce us clean by the washing of the water by the word. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask him just to come and help us in the word tonight. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, that we are able to come into this place tonight. And Lord, we are just looking into your word and asking, Lord, that you would just come bless our gathering together, Lord, as we take these things, Lord, that you laid upon our hearts tonight. And Lord, we ask that you would just anoint us, anoint each one of us as we've come, Lord, to be able to look within the word. And more, it's our desire, Lord, to be as the word has said. We want to be clean. We want to be washed. And we're thankful that you provided something for us, Lord, that we can be clean by. And Lord, we're asking that tonight, that you would just, Lord, help us to just surrender ourselves to you. Help me, Lord, that I could just give my heart to you now and our lives, our voice, and all that we are, that you could come and use us for a few moments of time. Make your word clear to our hearts, and we'll be so careful to give you the praise. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Thank you, Brother Lee. Okay. I want to start with you into the book of Numbers, chapter 19, and I'd like to speak to you tonight, and I know we won't get done, so we'll try to pick it up again in the morning. I'd like to speak to you on the loosing of the leper, the loosing of the leper. And I want to start with this subject, and in particular tonight I'd like to speak on the waters of separation. And I know you're familiar with the message that Brother Ram preaches on the waters of separation. But in Numbers chapter 19, this is of course where God is speaking to Moses and to Aaron, and he begins to approach the leadership, and he begins to tell them in Numbers 19:2 that this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot. And he said, wherein there is no blemish, and upon which never has come a yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp. And one shall slay her before his face, and Eleazar the priest shall take her blood with his finger, and he shall sprinkle it directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, and her skin and her flesh and her blood and her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet, and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. And then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. And in that he burneth her shall he wash his clothes in his water, and he shall bathe his flesh in the water, and shall be unclean until the evening. And a man that is clean, he shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them without the camp in a clean place. It shall be kept for the congregation, for the children of Israel. It's a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. And he that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean for 7 days. And he shall purify himself on the third day. On the seventh day shall he be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of a man, listen to this, and purify not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, that the soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him, and he shall be unclean, and his uncleanness is yet upon him. We know that God is going to direct Aaron, and he's going to direct Moses and tell them exactly on how to deal with people that has become unclean in the congregation of God. And we know that as he begins to instruct them on this cleanness and one thing that God has always required amongst his church, he wants us to be clean. He wants us to be a clean people. And God doesn't want people who is filthy with the things of the world and filthy by what the enemy would come and do to you and I, but he wants us to be a clean people. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a clean person. I want to be clean by the water of God's Word. And I trust that's what you desire to be as well. We know that as God would instruct Moses on exactly how to be clean, he begins to tell them, as he begins to instruct them into the things of God and how exactly it is to be handled. Now, once God begins to instruct them, God is not going to come with a secondary way that man is to become clean. Once God instructs them on the way to cleanness, every man that comes after that instruction has to come God's provided way. And we understand that he's telling them that this is the way it's to be handled. And now God is providing them a remedy before they ever come into it. He's letting them know when man becomes clean or the priesthood should be unclean, this is the remedy on how to fix the uncleanness in the camp. Now God desires for the priesthood to be clean. He desires for his people to be clean. When it comes to the sacrifice has got to be clean. Before Jesus could ever be crucified, he had to go to the water, and the prophet John had to wash our Savior because the sacrifice has got to be clean before it's offered before God. And God wants you and I to be able to be washed, but he's got to provide something for you and I to be able to cleanse us and clean us, and it's called the washing by the waters of separation. Now God is going to give them a way out before they ever get into this type of uncleanness. God's going to provide them a remedy before they ever had the problem. And before you ever was a sinner, you realize he'd already provided for you and I a way to be, amen, to be able to overcome sin in this hour. He'd already provided. Remember where the lamb was slain at. He wasn't just slain 2,000 years ago. He was slain in the mind of God before the world ever began. Our sacrifice was slain. You believe that tonight? Say amen. So God provides them a remedy. He's given them a way of escape. And here for the priest to be clean. He's not just asking for this. God demands a cleanness amongst the priesthood. Because when it comes to the priesthood, they're going to handle the sacrifice. Even when the priest would go into the sanctuary, he's required to be washed. You don't go in unless you're washed. I said you don't go in unless you're washed. There ain't 10 ways into it. There ain't 20 ways into it. If you're going to go into the holiest of all, brother, you've got to go by the laver, and you must be washed by the water. Amen. I said God still wants a priesthood that is clean. God don't want a priesthood that is fouled and messed up in all kinds of ways. Oh no, he wants the priesthood to be clean. Now God is so deliberate, and God is, he goes to great lengths to be able to describe this. And I would think if God would take these chapters in the scripture and he would go through it so detailed, there must be something laying here that you and I need to recognize. The shadow is going to be fulfilled somewhere in the anti-type, which is the day we're living in. Now there's requirements that a man must have in order to be a part of these priesthood. Not just anybody could be a priest, but you got to be of the right lineage to be a priest. I said you got to be of the right genealogy to be a priest. You cannot just decide to become a priest, but you got to be elected by God to become a priest. Amen. To be a part of the priesthood. It's not something that you join. You got to be born into the right family. You got to be born by the right, amen. You got to be born by the right lineage. Hallelujah. If you're going to be a part of the priesthood, you've got to have the right daddy. You've got to have the right seed line. If you're going to be a part of the priesthood, you've got to be born right, brother. And I want to remind you today, we are part of a great priesthood. You don't join it, you're born into it. Oh, in case you forgot, God has called every believer in this hour right into the priesthood. Not the Levitical, not the Aaronic. We are called by the order of Melchizedek. Which is not a time thing. Oh, brother, when you're called by the order of Melchizedek, you're called back into the very mind of God, where you was always a part of to begin with. For the scripture says it like this in 1 Peter 2:5.
It says, you also are lively stones. You're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a holy priesthood, a cleansed priesthood, a sanctified priesthood, a washed priesthood. I said, we got to be clean if we're a part of it. Why is God telling us that we got to be clean? Because you're going to offer up spiritual sacrifices that's acceptable to God. It's not acceptable unless it's a holy priesthood. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. Notice what he's telling us. As Aaron and his sons would be a part of the priesthood, as it moves through the genealogy, he begins to let us know, you are a priesthood. But you're not just any type of priest, you're a royal priest. Amen, somebody. I said, you're a royal priest. You're a royal priesthood. And you offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Amen. We don't offer up our feelings. We don't offer up our emotions. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. Something that's acceptable in the sight of God. Notice he said that you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. It's a holy nation. Hallelujah. A peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice the terminology that the here in 1 Peter is using. He begins to tell us that you have been called, which is a type of the ministry. The ministry has got to be a called ministry. And he says, you've been called. Well, if I've been called, tell me who called me. You didn't call yourself into this. Had you got your way, you'd been right out there with the rest of the uncleanness. But because he called you, he has sanctified you and made you worthy to come into his presence. John says it like this in Revelation 5:10, and he has made us unto our God kings and priests. Notice, not just priest, but royal priest. Kings and priest. Amen. So God is providing a way back from defilement. Waters of separation. He provides a way back from sin. He provides a way back from unbelief. He provides a way back from guilt. Every unclean person who has went out and handled dead things, they're able to come back and be cleansed by the washing of the water, by the word. Think about what God is showing us. Before there is sin, he's already got a way to escape the sin trap. Before there's uncleanness, he's already got a way to bring man back. And God goes into great length to let you know, you may get in that situation, but here is a way to get out of it. Before there was a sickness, he was already a healer. Before anyone was lost, he was already a savior. Before there was ever sin, he was already a redeemer. Before there was ever any bondage, he already made a way for me to be able to be free. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, God did not like the priesthood. He didn't like the priesthood to handle dead things. Hallelujah. He didn't like his people handling dead things. He don't want you as priests to handle things that are dead in your life, things that are dead in your past, things that are dead in your heart. Don't bring them up. Don't dig them up. Let them be dead. Hallelujah. He considered it unclean. God considers it unclean to touch a dead body. He considered it his sight to be one whom he would be defiled to touch a dead thing. But God's not going to trap man by the law and say, if you touch it, you die. But watch what God's going to do. If you happen to touch something dead, glory. If you happen to become unclean, I'm going to give you a way out. God provides a man. Oh, listen to me tonight. He provides a way for a man to be clean again. Oh, God was not going to require man to be able to stay underneath the state of law of guilt and condemnation. But he's going to give a man a way to be able to come out of that condemnation. He was going to make a way for me to be free. Oh, praise God. Brother, there's only one substitute that God was going to require. It was not going to be the works of man. It was not going to be the works of a priesthood. But God recognized something has to speak for the guilty. So God says, I want a red heifer. I want a red heifer. Now, when you talk about this animal, to even find a red heifer was such a rare occurrence. To actually find one who is a, listen, a true red heifer. Oh, let me tell you what I'm thinking. I said there's a lot that looks like they're a pure red heifer. There's a lot of religions that look so good. There's a lot of things that looks okay. It could be 99% red heifer, but if it's got one hair, if it's got one hair that does not be red, it's not ordained by God. It was so rare to find a red heifer. They say it's equivalent to finding a needle in a haystack. Yeah, it's so rare. And I've tried to do some research on this to find how uncommon it was. That maybe one would be born in 400 years. Which, but here is astounding figures to my mind. To think that just in America alone, how many heifers are born every year? Just in the state of Tennessee, can you imagine how many cattle is born a year? Can you imagine just in the county of Carter how many cattle are born every year? But in all of Israel, to find one red heifer was such a rare occurrence that would only take place ever so many hundreds of years. Now think about that. Out of the millions and millions and millions of calves that would be born, it would only be one out of a few hundred years. That'd be one out of millions. Oh, how can I say it? They would only be one out of millions that would be considered, oh, hallelujah, a true ordained red heifer. I'm trying to pull back, but it's hard, man. Now think about this. Not one hair on that calf's body could be a different color. Not even one. Now watch. Not one hair. Think about it. Not one hair on its body could be a different color. Not even the eyelashes could not be black and the rest of it red. Not one eyelash could be black. Not one hair between its hooves could be black. Its lip hairs has got to be red. I'm talking about the rarity of a provided sacrifice. The tail tuft has to be completely red. Red all the way through. Listen, no black hairs, no gray hairs mixed within its tail tuft. His underbelly would have to be examined to make sure. Many a cattle, they look like they're purely red. Oh, but when you get under that underbelly and you begin to examine it, you'll find there's some white hairs in there. Everything, oh, listen to me what I'm saying. Everything must be the same. Its head color must be the same. Its tail tuft must be the same. Its underbelly, oh, don't you see? He's got to be the same from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's got to be one color. Not one color could be missed. He must be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He's got to be the same. He's got to be same in the feet as he is in the head. Hallelujah. He's got to be the same God in Paul's day, in Irenaeus, in Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley. He's got to be the same in every age. He can't be a different God to Paul and a different God to you. He can't be a different God than Moses has. I said he's got to be the I Am. He's got to be the Alpha. He's got to be the Omega. He's got to be the bright in the morning. He's got to be the perfect sacrifice, a red heifer. Abraham says it like this, redemption. Redemption by judgment, tremendous message. Oh, if you notice that red heifer. Notice. Hallelujah. Notice. Being the female. Too much, man. Now remember, he's already commissioned the church by Paul that she should be washed by the waters of the word. She's going to be cleansed. Right? Which means he's going to have a pure church. He's going to have a spotless church. He's going to have a clean church. But notice, if he's going to have a clean church at the end, then this sacrifice must be the same representation as she is in the end, as she is at the beginning. Notice, being the female, topping the church, also topping Christ, by the way. The red, the color, couldn't be spotted now. Had to be a solid color. And red, glory, red signifies redemption. So she's redemption from the feet all the way to the head. It's Christ from the beginning. It's Christ in the middle. And it's Christ in the end. It's all, oh, don't you see? It's got to be a pure, spotless lamb. And he's going to have a pure, spotless bride. So rare. Especially today. This is so rare. It's so rare to find one. That when a red heifer was born, oh, it would cause a stir. It would cause a stir in Israel. Oh, when they would find a true red heifer would be born, it wouldn't take very many days that the news would travel from village to village, town to town, that a red heifer has been born. I said when he becomes examined and they begin to look at him and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and they recognize he is a true sacrifice, the word begins to spread. And the words of Jesus begin to spread throughout the land that a true red heifer had been born. Listen, this red heifer, it couldn't have no afflictions. It couldn't walk with a limp. Couldn't have no scars. Couldn't have no scratches. I'm preaching to somebody. Hang on. I said there couldn't. Oh, here's you one. But it could not have no birth defects. That's a good one right there, man. I said it could not be born defected. It could not be born with defects where it would have something wrong in its genetic pool. It's got to be born perfect. Hallelujah. It can't be born with tainted blood. It's got to be a perfect blood. Hallelujah. Brother, if the blood was ever going to loose you, it has to be a perfect blood. Hallelujah. Another thing, according to the prophet, what is separation? This red heifer, it could never have nothing put on it. Right? It could have never have been ridden. Glory. It could have never have been yoked up, the prophet says. Never bridled up. Never tied up. Never bound up. It must be a free, free sacrifice. Oh, I want to say it. He It can't be yoked up with denomination. It couldn't be yoked up with organization. It can never have been yoked up with nothing. It's a pure sacrifice. If you sit on it, God couldn't use it. I'm preaching right there, man. If you put a blanket on its back, you defiled it. If you put a bridle on it, you defiled it. But listen, it can never be hitched up. In other words, God's not going to use what you're done with to bring His glory out of it. Woo! Amen, somebody. God don't want your has-beens. God don't want your... Come on, church. Amen. God wants... He wants it right off the top. He wants the best of your time. Your tithe shouldn't be the last thing you pay. It ought to be the first thing you pay. Why? He wants our best. Pastor ain't here. I can say that. He don't want our has-beens. He don't want our used-up time. He'll take it, but He deserves our best. Amen. God don't want what man's used up. God cannot bring His full mercy out of something that is used up. He wants something that's been undefiled. He don't want your leftovers. He wants something pure. He wants something spotless. Oh, let me put the shoe on the other foot. He wants you to be spotless. So He provides a way for you to be clean. He provides a way for you to be sanctified. Why? He doesn't want a has-been. That's why you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's all right. I've been waiting about 3 weeks to preach this. Hang on. This is the ordinance of the law, Numbers 19:2. It's been commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came a yoke. And ye shall give unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth out of the camp. Now watch. Once the sacrifice is brought to the high priest, then the worshiper doesn't do anything else. Amen, somebody. Now notice, now it's the job of the priest to bring the sacrifice outside the camp. For her forth to bring forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. The face of what? The priest. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And Brother Ram said, remember, those 7 stripes represented the 7 church ages. So before we all think about, before an age ever got here, He's already got blood over that age. He's already got blood over that church. Before it ever come into existence, remember, Jesus said, I will build my church. And before He ever builds it, He's got blood shot over it. Hallelujah. Take her blow with his finger and sprinkle her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation. Think of what He calls it, the tabernacle of the congregation. 7 times. Now God likes this number 7. One shall burn the heifer in his sight. Her skin, her flesh, her blood, with her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. So when the red heifer, it must be given to this priest, and the priest has to be the one to offer this sacrifice before God. Now notice, when the sacrifice is going to be burnt, not only is the red heifer going to be burnt, but you got to take the cedar wood and put the cedar in there with him. You got to take the faith, I mean hyssop, and you got to put hyssop in there with it. And then you got to take the scarlet, and the scarlet has got to be crucified with it. And he takes and he burns it all together. This could not be offered. Listen, he cannot offer this sacrifice in the midst of the camp in front of everybody else. It's not to be done in the camp. Hallelujah. But the priest is to take him outside the camp. Oh my. Oh, don't you see? The sacrifice has got to go beyond the camp. You know what he's telling them? Don't put this sacrifice on the brazen altar. Oh, here's you one. Don't burn this where you burn everything else. Hallelujah. This ain't just another lamb. This ain't just another goat. This ain't just another turtle dove. This is a rare red heifer. Don't you lay it where you lay everything else. This is a special, hallelujah. It's a special time. It's a special day. And this is a special animal. Hallelujah. Take it outside the camp. Don't put it on the brazen altar. But this sacrifice, listen to me, it's got to go beyond everything else. It's got to go beyond turtle doves. It's got to go beyond lambs. It's got to go beyond everything that's been sacrificed before God. And he tells him that the priest has got to lead this sacrifice. Take him outside the camp. Oh God. Take him out there and to sacrifice this beautiful creature. It's so valuable. They take and they burn him. How beautiful of a type. You don't burn him on the brazen altar. Because when you burn him, he's going to produce ashes. And I don't want these ashes mixed with anything else. Let me say it like this. Don't mix your hyssop with nothing else. It's a type of the mustard seed that can't be mixed with nothing else. Oh, don't you hear me? Don't you mix him with anything else. Don't mix him with, make sure he's sacrificed and burned outside the camp alone. So they burn him. And a man, Numbers 19:9, and a man that is clean, a man that is clean, shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them without the camp in a clean place. Notice now, he gets burnt. He goes all the way down to the burning. But when he begins to produce ashes after the burning, he gets put in a clean place. Hallelujah! He must be put in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation. Notice who it's kept for. The congregation. For a water of separation. It's a purification for hermeneia. Sin. So he tells them, gather these ashes. Gather these ashes. Now watch. It's not just the revival while the fire's going on. It's not just a beautiful thing that it's burnt. I said there's more to the story than Jesus dying on a cross. But it's, oh listen to me, it's what the cross produced that's what's going to make the difference. Hallelujah! It's what Calvary produced. You go amongst the Catholics, and I've been there to many of the places, been many of the great cathedrals that they built in Italy, down, even in France, rather there in Paris, some of the great big sanctuaries that they had built. But what do they have? They got death, agony, dying. Pictures of the burning. Pictures of crucifixion. Pictures of agony and pain. But they're missing the point of the burning of the sacrifice. Listen to me. Jesus' greatest triumph was not his death. It was not his death. The greatest triumph was, there's been a lot of good men die, Brother Bram said. And every young man has died and laid his life down. But the greatest triumph was not the death of Jesus. It was the ashes. Listen to me. Here you go. Here you go. In other words, the sacrifice ain't over just because the fire goes out. Because, God, let me say it like this. The sacrifice had a purpose. The sacrifice had a reason. Hallelujah. It's going to make the ashes. And God tells them, listen. Take these ashes and carry them with you everywhere you go. Carry them. Carry them down to the market. Carry them up to your neighbor's house. Carry them to the sanctuary. Carry them to your job. I'm preaching right now. You carry these ashes everywhere you go. Take the ashes with you. Because at whatever time, you should become unclean. If you should happen to be in a room where there's a dead body, you've got a way to become clean in the presence of God again. Pack them with you everywhere you go. Take them to church and take them home with you. Listen, friends, you got to have this sacrifice. Have him on your job. Have him over at Walmart. Have him down to my. Have him everywhere you go. That way, if you should be unclean and your eyes look at something they should, or your feet go somewhere it shouldn't, and your hands touch something it shouldn't, you got a way to make waters of separation between that. Oh, brother, can you imagine? They was packing around this rare, beautiful creature. They was packing around the ashes. They are identified with the burning of that sacrifice everywhere. Hallelujah! They are wearing these ashes with them. If you go under a Catholic roof and you touch that dead body, or if you go to a Church of Christ roof and you touch that dead body, come on, somebody. I said, if you come in contact with some dead things of the world, you've got a way to become pure all over again. Hallelujah. Loosing the lepers. He's packing around the solution with him, the ashes of the sacrifice to make him clean all over again. He had an antidote. Oh, to the afflictions. Hallelujah. He had an answer to every question. He had a way to cure it. If there's a sickness, he's got a cure. If there's a disease, he's got a cure. If there's an ailment, you got the cure. Whatever you have need of, you got the ashes with you. I don't know what you see in it. I see the unconditional love of a Savior that has provided us a way to be able to become clean in His sight again. And the Lord knows we need it from the time we wake up. We need it all the way till the time we go to bed. We need an answer to the sin. Listen, friend, the answer to the sin question was a rare commodity. The answer to the devil's question was a rare commodity. But the prophet said, we have the answer to the devil's questions. Don't you see, to have access the way you do is rare? Do you know how special you are that you have a way to get back? Do you know how rare it is to be able to be the one that packs these things? You are packing the identification of your sacrifice right around with you. You got it on you, brother. And we're not ashamed of it either. We're not ashamed of the washing of the water by the message of the hour. Brother, if you want to know how to treat your wife, open up the message. If you want to know how to live, open up the message. Why? It's the washing of the water by the word. From the time Jesus was born, a peculiar birth. He's born, according to the book of Revelations, he's born with the old dragon after him. Amen, somebody. And he's trying to devour this rare sacrifice. During that time, what a type it is for today. It's the murdering of babies. I don't care to say it again. It's the murdering of babies. It's the murdering that's taking place. And we know exactly. Listen, friends, there's no question where that spirit came from. It came right from Lucifer himself. He's the one that anointed Herod. He's the one that anointed the Pharaoh down in Egypt. He's the one that did it. I want to kill every child that's 2 years old and younger. Oh, my. And they wanted to kill him. Oh, but God had a way. Hallelujah. For the star would begin to move from one place to another. And that beautiful sacrifice, he would go from one place to another. Amen. And they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him when he was 12. They wanted to kill him when he began to preach. They're going to want to kill you when you begin to preach. Amen, somebody. They wanted to kill him his entire life. He walked into their synagogues, began to point out, said that your whited sepulcher full of dead man's bones. They wanted to kill him. He said, you're of your father the devil. They said, we're the children of Abraham. He said, you're of your father the devil. They wanted to kill him. They tried to trap him that day with a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, and they brought their stones down there to try to trap him by the law. Come on, somebody. But grace had already provided an answer before the law ever got there. I said grace provided a way out before the law ever got there. Hallelujah. Glory. Tried to kill him his entire life. Hallelujah. They wanted to murder him. Listen, they wanted Jesus to be a martyr. They want him to be a martyr, but he was never going to be a martyr. He was called to be a sacrifice. Now watch. I promise you I'm hurrying. Hang on, two seats. To be a sacrifice, he could not be murdered and become a sacrifice. He could not be a martyr and be a sacrifice. But listen, but he couldn't be a sacrifice unless he's offered by the priest. Watch the way God works this out. So beautiful. So here they come wanting to kill him. Jesus goes to Gethsemane. He follows the will of God. Oh, but to be the sacrifice like the red heifer, he's got to be a perfect sacrifice. So he's got, listen. He's got to be declared judicially righteous in the sight of man. Listen to where I'm going. He's got to be declared judicially righteous in the sight of man and in the sight of God. I'm talking about the red heifer. I said, oh, listen, friends, you and your sacrifice are the same. You in Christ, you're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, life of his life. How can you go in the rapture unless you're judicially declared righteous in the sight of God? Hallelujah! Jesus had to be a perfect sacrifice. So what do? They take him down to man. They take him to Rome. And they bring him before Pilate. Listen now, and they want Pilate to search this red heifer. Search his tail tuft. Search his underbelly. Search from the head to the toe. Find one problem with this red. Tell me one mistake. Tell me one shortcoming. Search this sacrifice. Hallelujah! Pilate searched the underbelly. He searched the tail tuft. He searched the eyebrows. He searched the nose. He searched everywhere to make sure around his mouth, every part of his speech around his mouth was absolutely perfect. Pilate stands. He's got to say it. He's got to say it. He has no choice. I want you to hear me. He has no choice but to pronounce it. You know why? The type has already been given. I said the type has already been given. There's already been a type in the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers. There's already been a type that when the high priest and when the man begins to take and search this red heifer, they'll find him an innocent sacrifice. Take it before him. Pilate says, I've looked. Listen. I've heard every accusation against her, him, they. Please don't miss what I'm preaching tonight. I've heard every accusation they brought against him. But I don't find no guilt. Listen to me. I don't find no hypocrisy. I don't find him being two-faced. I don't find him being a liar. I don't find him being an adulterer. I don't find him being a murderer. He's not a womanizer. He's not anointed with lust. I'm preaching to you tonight. I've searched him and I find no fault. Listen, in this man. Man. I find no fault. You know why? Listen, he's not guilty of the accusations. So the life of this sacrifice silenced the accuser. It silenced the critics. Friends, can you imagine how this made the devil look when he hears these words? Watch the type. Then the one who searched him has to take and wash his hands. Amen, somebody. And he washes his hands in a basin of water. And he turns right around. Where are you going to give him to? He turns him back to the priest. Listen, he turned him back to the priest. And the priest has got to lead him outside the camp. Hallelujah! Pilate could not have had him killed. It would have broke every scripture. It's got to be the priest. It's got to be the priest. Pilate says, who do you want? Do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? Do you want the guilty or do you want the innocent? Do you want the bound or do you want the free? Do you want the red heifer or do you want a sinner? And the priest takes the sacrifice and they lead him outside the camp. One innocent, another guilty. One dirty, the other clean. The one perfect, the other one false. The Jewish priest, they wanted him. And right there, at that moment, listen. At that moment, it went from an execution to a sacrifice. Scriptures was holding. He was holding, Brother Terry. He was holding the type into place. God wasn't nervous. His word was holding so tightly, making sure that the word, every type, has to be fulfilled. It cannot be broken. I want to remind you, the word held. Amen. Every type of the Torah laid before Pilate. And he took the sacrifice and he turned it over to the priest. And what he didn't realize is every type of the Torah was materialized, manifested, standing right in front of him. And they couldn't even recognize it. Why is it? Because Jesus fulfilled the law. For Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the Torah. I come in the volume of the book. I come in the fulfillment of Moses' words. I come in the fulfillment of the law. Matthew 5:17 tells us, be not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. Let me quit. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet. And Jesus carried the cedar wood down that Via Dolorosa. As he drug that cross, I can see it right now, as he drug it over those cobblestone streets, as the weight of the cross would bounce against his arm as he's dragging it down those cobblestone streets. I can hear the voices around him. I can hear the crowd screaming. Where are you going? Outside the camp. Jesus dying on the cross. He received the hyssop. They took his garments, which was scarlet colored. Come on, somebody. Not only that, the Bible says, verse 3, and you shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her. What's your Bible? One shall slay her before his face and in front of every priest. Think about it. In front of the high priest, in front of his eyes, in front of the Jews. Are you with me? They took the sacrifice outside the camp in the face of the high priest, and they sacrificed this red heifer. Orders of separation. Beautiful message again. I noticed the red heifer, how she must be, never have had a yoke upon her. If you notice how it represented Jesus when he came, he never yoked himself with the worldly order, glory. He never taken Pharisees and Sadducees' side. He stayed free from both. He declared God to both sides. And another way that she must be killed. Listen, Brother Ram. She must be killed in the presence of the high priest. She must be killed in the presence of the high priest. Listen to him. The priest must see the heifer killed. And when Jesus, when Caiaphas even sent his team and so forth, there he was killed in the presence of the high priest right upon Golgotha, where he could look from the temple and see him die in the presence of the high priest. This prophet's powerful. This prophet's powerful, man. Hallelujah. Think about it. He has to be in the right place. He's got to be the right sacrifice. It's got to be the right time. He has to have the right ingredients. He has to be the right man. They take him outside the city. Oh, God, think about it. They considered him not to be worthy to be killed inside this city. But I want to tell you, I'm glad he went outside the gate. I want to remind you, according to the scripture, and I wish I had every one of them tonight, but I'd preach 10 years. But remember, whenever Boaz went to redeem Ruth, the Bible said he had to do it outside the gate. I said he had to do it outside the gate. Outside the gate is where the sacrifice was going to be received. Outside the gate is where redemption was going to take place. The word held. They rejected him within those walls. I want to say it. He ain't welcome in their walls. I'm preaching twofold. Hang on, somebody. I said he is not welcome in their walls. And you know what they want to do? They want to sacrifice and snuff out the life of this living sacrifice. They want to kill this priesthood. They want to kill those who are anointed. They want to kill those who believe. They would love nothing more to take and kill us out. They lead him outside the camp, beyond the walls. Oh, had he been killed in those walls. Just thinking, but if they killed him in those walls, they would have put claims upon him. They would have owned him had they put him in the walls. But because they took him on the outside of the church, they took him on the outside of the camp. They took him outside Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, Jews, and Gentiles. Every person that goes outside the gate of that city will have access to that Lamb. Because he went beyond the camp. Hallelujah. Because he went beyond the camp. Because he went beyond the church. Every individual who can take and has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, you have a right to be able to receive the word for your day. Why? He went outside the camp. This message, this is what I'm saying. Had this message got stuck in the walls, Brother Terry. Are you hearing me, somebody? Had they had Pentecost had wrapped him up in the walls, look where we'd be there. Had the Baptist church wrapped this message up and had it in the walls, they would have claimed ownership to it. But listen, they turned him out because the word held. I remind you in the book of Revelation chapter 3 that Jesus was standing outside the gate. Hallelujah! Glory! He's outside the church! You see it? He's outside the camp. And in this age, he's been kicked outside the walls of denomination, And tell Brother JD they have rejected every word of it. They rejected every. They call it mental telepathy. They call it nothing but a cult. But when you and I look at it, we see the bleeding, bloody word of the Savior. We see the ashes, which is purification for every mistake, every fault, every failure. Why there's a separation? Because outside the camp, if a leper should happen to be wandering outside the camp, hallelujah, he could walk by that courthouse outside the camp, just beyond the gate, and he can find the blood. I said he can find the cleansing agent to be able to loose him from his leprosy. They took him beyond the camp because God was not going to allow any Pharisee or Sadducee. He was not going to allow any camp to make claims on him. Listen, listen, listen. So he separated him. I want to preach right now, man. They separated him. And because he was separated, he got to a place that somebody that didn't have no right to the kingdom of God, somebody that didn't have any rights as a Gentile, heathen dogs that had no rights to the commonwealth of Israel, would be able to get to him because he's outside the gate of the city. He went beyond the camp. For Jew, Gentile, Pharisees, Sadducees, he went beyond the camp. For the New Testament and every saint in the Old Testament. He went beyond the camp for Adam. He went beyond the camp for Eve. He went beyond the camp for Abraham. He went beyond the camp for Paul. And he went beyond the camp for me and you. Listen, no matter who you are, you got access to him. No matter what you've done, you got access to him. No matter how dirty, how filthy your life was, how unclean you was, didn't matter. You got access to the water of separation. Oh, don't you see? It ain't because you're worthy. It's because he's worthy. Remember when they would bring the lamb up in the Old Testament, they would never examine the worshiper. They would always examine the sacrifice. Because you are only as good as your sacrifice. And Paul comes to the New Testament. I'm quitting. I'm just having fun now. And Paul said, therefore, you can walk boldly to the throne of grace. Well, Brother David, I didn't have any rights. I didn't have any rights to him. He lets you know because of what the waters of separation, because of what the message has done, you have entered into Christ. And you can walk before him as a holy priest. You don't have to stand before a pope. Hallelujah! You don't have to stand before a priest. You don't have to stand before a pope. You don't have to come through organization or denomination. You can walk right up into the presence of God. No creeds, no dogmas, no man's ideas. When Jesus died that day at Calvary, when he said it's finished, he meant what he said. I can imagine as Jesus was taken to Golgotha, hung on a tree. It's the time of the sacrifice, and the high priest standing there going through the rituals, going through every part of the law, making the law become manifest through every part of it. Every single thing was done. But the priest knows. The priest knows there's an outer court. There's an inner court. And he knows there's a holy place. And in that holy place is where the sacrifice is at. And he knows there ain't no sacrifice in there. But he's going through the rituals as though there's something in there. I'm preaching to somebody. I said denomination, they're going through every motion of religion. They go through every bit of it and they know there ain't no sacrifice inside that holy place. You know why he wasn't in the holy place? Because he's hanging out there on a cedar with the hyssop and the scarlet. He's not in there. He's not in their tombs. Hallelujah. He's not in there. He goes through the ceremony, sprinkling the blood, comes from the laver, inner court, seven candlesticks, brazen altar, comes through the veil, the holy place. Take their Bibles. Take their Bibles. Quote scripture after scripture. And there ain't no life. There ain't no life. There ain't no substitute. They ain't got the ashes. They ain't got no ashes. They ain't got no sacrifice. They ain't got nothing to cleanse them. There's nothing to make the worshiper. Listen, friends, God don't want to push their sins forward to another day. He's got a lamb. He's got a red heifer out there on that tree, out there on that cedar tree. He's out there not to take away Jew sins. He's to take away Jew, Gentile, Samaritan. All of our lives will become cleansed. He went beyond religious camps. That's where some of you was at. That's where we was at. Some of you was good Baptist. I was with Brother Homer the last 2 days. He said I was a good Baptist. But when Homer went into the holies of holies, there was no sacrifice. You understand? But when you begin to come around this message, you start looking around. Why is everybody packing around these ashes? Why is everybody packing around these books? Well, why is everybody carrying around these tape recorders? Why do they got these reel to reel? Brother Homer told me the other night, he said that they were so desperate to hear the message that whenever the reel to reel went out, he said, I would sit there and just turn it by hand. I can't help but thinking, the ashes, every rotation of it was coming off of that wheel. Waters of separation, one after another, producing the waters of separation. Ain't that powerful? Stand your feet with me. I said it reaches to the highest mountain. Help me sing it tonight, if you will. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Yes, the blood that gives me my strength from day to day. It will never lose oh its power. I want to sing that one more time. Oh, I said it reaches to the highest mountain. Hallelujah. I said it flows to the low. If you're down in the valley, yes, I said the blood that gives me my strength. Hallelujah. From day Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Laodicea, Bright Age. Oh, it will never. I want to sing that again. It will never. Oh, help me sing it tonight. Oh, I said it will never lose its power. Will what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Help me now. Oh, and what can make? I said nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is it flows. And oh, precious is that flows that it makes me. What else? No other fount I know we are nothing but. This is all my hope and peace. Oh, I said, this is all of my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood. Hallelujah. I said that this is all my righteousness. Nothing but all precious is that flows. And oh, precious. I said that it makes me. Hallelujah! And no other fountain that I know will nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my pardon, this I see, it's nothing but the blood. Hallelujah, sing it now. I said it for my cleansing, this I plead, it's nothing but. Hallelujah. And oh, precious. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood tonight. Thank you for your grace. And no other fountain that I know. I said nothing but the. I want to sing that one more time. Sing it all your heart. Oh, and oh, precious. It still flows tonight. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. For sinner and saint alike. No other fountain that I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing this just before we go. Ain't his word rich? Well, I'm amazed that you love me. Lord, I'm amazed how you care through your precious blood. Sing it now. Well, and my sins are washed. Well, they're all washed away. Yes, my sins. I want to sing that one more time to let the devil hear it now. Well, I'm amazed that you love me. Lord, I'm amazed. Hallelujah. Well, through your precious blood. What about your sins? And my sins. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. No one knew how alone I was feeling. The emptiness I tried so hard to hide. And though I laughed and said my life is fine without you, and I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Oh, I remember. Then one day someone told me of your mercy. Oh, and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died and you purchased my redemption. Hallelujah. And you broke sin's power and set my spirit free. Well, I'm amazed. Hallelujah. I'm amazed tonight, Lord. I'm amazed how you care. Oh, through your precious blood, I found pardon. And my sins, I said they're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. gone, washed away. I'm still amazed tonight, after all of these years, that a man can preach about the blood of Jesus. And it does something to you to realize, had you got what you deserved, you wouldn't be on these pews tonight. But because of His grace, because of His mercy, because of the priest leading him outside the camp, and he took the burning. That's what should have happened to me. We should have been burnt. Brother Bram said Eve should have been burnt right along with the serpent. But something intervened. God went over the hill and He killed a lamb. And He took the blood and He covered His children. Brother, I plead the blood tonight. I don't know what you look to, but I look to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need it. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight that we've been able to gather together in this place. Lord, I so enjoyed looking to Your Word. I pray, Lord, may these things, Lord, may they rest upon our hearts. May we look to them, think about them, and meditate upon them, Lord. I want to thank You, Lord, that we've been able to come, Lord, into a living way, that You have called us and made us priests and kings of the Most High God. Help us, Lord, that we could stand at our place, what You've called us to be, that we could offer up spiritual sacrifice, giving praise to Your name, Lord, by the fruit of our lips. Thank You tonight, Lord. Pray, Lord, that You be with our pastor. Give him strength, Lord. No doubt, Lord, he preached the heart last night. Preach hard tonight. I pray, God, strengthen him. Raise him back up. Thank You for Brother Darrell. Preached this morning, Lord. Preached his heart out. May You just give him strength, Lord. Be with Your children, Lord, till we come again in the morning. Lord, until that time, may we rest within Your word. And everybody said, amen. Well, I'm on my way. I'm on to Canaan. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. I said, I'm on my way. I'm on to Canaan's land. Yes, I am. I'm on my way. I'm on to Canaan's land. I'm on my way. Praise God. I'm on my way. If my brother don't go, it won't hinder me. Well, if my sister don't go, it won't hinder me.